And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Wednesday, September 3rd. It's 1:07 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside are feeling fall-like in the 50s across the area and a stiff north-northwest wind. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. How's your afternoon going so far there, Bridget? You're on the road again, I see.
Dandy, and yes, as always, thank you, rural Foster County, for giving me a nice backdrop right behind me. That's perfect.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we've got, is it as windy out there as it is here in town?
It's not bad. I think the only reason we think it's windy is because we have had some really nice calm days. Those are the days that we wanted back at the end of the May, early June, when we would have wanted to do more spraying. So for right now, I don't think we're doing too terribly badly. I will say we're probably pulling down some Canadian smoke again with this cold weather. Would that be the case?
We did this morning, and it was pretty dense out in the western part of the state. They had visibilities reduced quite a bit out in the oil patch. And for us, we did see some of that this morning. Most of that is pushed into South Dakota. That Canadian smoke is going to push all the way down into the central plains this afternoon. So it's not just the northern plains that are experiencing that wonderful Canadian smoke, but all the way down to our south. And yeah, winds out at the airport only at 18 miles an hour, but I can attest here at the studio they're a little stronger than that. And we're going to see those winds continue to increase, not so much today, but especially as we head into the day on Friday. We're only going to rise up a few more degrees from where we're at right now, as temperatures will remain right around upper 50s to near 60. We'll see the skies clear out a little bit tonight. That will allow us to drop into the upper 30s. I'm not worried about frost tonight, even with light winds. We're just going to be above that frost threshold tonight. And then Thursday, we're going to see clouds increase. The Clipper system will come our way out of southern Canada. We'll first increase our clouds in the morning, and then we'll bring some showers into the area in the afternoon, with highs stuck in the 50s tomorrow, and then a windy day on Friday. If you have any travel plans across the state on Friday, even tomorrow out in the western part of the state, they're going to have winds approaching 50, 55 miles an hour out in the western and even parts of the central part of the state. Let's say from Bismarck up through about Williston, those areas are going to see 50 to 55 mile an hour wind gusts tomorrow if you're doing any traveling. And some of those winds will translate eastward on Friday, affecting the valley and into Lakes Country with windy conditions. And unseasonably cool weather through the rest of the week. We do warm up a little bit over the weekend, not a whole lot, but a little bit. Right around 60 on Saturday, in the 60s to right around 70 on Sunday. Much lighter winds on the latter half of the weekend. Sunday, the pick day of the weekend. And then next week, I see 80s back in the forecast by later next week. Weather looks great for Big Iron. We might get... you know what? I think the whole thing is going to remain dry. I was saying we might get something on Thursday, but I think all of Big Iron is going to be dry with 70s and then approaching 80 towards the end of Big Iron. So great weather for next week, and that's perfect, perfect timing for sure.
Well, and we will have lots of guests joining us during Big Iron. Some of those will include Cass County Farm Bureau, because they are now our sponsors for our Assistant Ag Director online. We look forward to having them join us, talk about that program. And one of their three pillars that they have for Farm Bureau is education. And we're going to talk about that, and especially because we're going to use some interns from Collegiate Farm Bureau. Then also, you and I are kicking off a new September Suicide Awareness Program. And we want to make sure that we bring in folks who can help those in our rural and agricultural areas think more about anxiety, depression, suicide prevention. We want to make sure that we have everyone left to farm at the end of the season. To be honest, we had another farmer suicide just within the last couple of days. And so with the help of Prairie St. John, as well as Maple River Grain and Agronomy, we're going to be bringing awareness every Thursday throughout the month of September to our farmers and ranchers, to those who work in the processing, banking, equipment, agronomy, and other auxiliary industries that go right along with farming. And we want to make sure that folks know that we care and that we do have the resources to help support them. Those are going to be important throughout the rest of this month. As always, as you are listening today, you are welcome to give us a call on the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. We appreciate those of you who are watching. You get to see our new graphics because they are a part of our studio sponsor, which is Coral Laundromat. So you can reach us again, JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. You can send emails to me at ag@flagfamily.com. Dean is weather@flagfamily.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV, WDAY, Weather and Ag in Focus. So look, there's all the ways to contact the housekeeping, and just a thank you to several new sponsors joining us with some great ideas as we kick off September and fall.
And we've got weather trivia this afternoon. I keep thinking it's Tuesday. It's been a short work week. So
thank God you said that, because I know I have it on our list, but I'm like, right? Oh my God, it's Wednesday. When are we doing Wednesday weather trivia, Dean?
You want to do that now, or you want to wait until the end of the show? Let's wait till the end. What's that?
I was feeling lucky. Feeling sort of lucky.
All right. Let's do it now then. Let's do it now. And again, this is for a Darter Plastic, one of those beautiful, beautiful rain gauges. And if you're one of the lucky winners, all we ask is that, that you report the rain totals to us, if you could. And then we pass that information along to the National Weather Service. So today's trivia. On average, I weigh approximately 1.1 million pounds. About the same weight as 100 elephants. Despite my immense weight, despite my weight, I remain afloat. What am I?
The Again, Titanic.
My average, what, see,
she's not far off.
She wasn't far off, yeah.
You said weather, never mind.
Yeah, on average, I weigh about 1 million pounds. Roughly about the same weight as 100 elephants, and despite my immense weight, I remain afloat. What am I? 701-293-9000. We got a caller on line one. Caller, what's your name, please?
Todd.
Todd, what's your guess?
My guess is you're probably a thunderstorm cloud.
You're on the right track. I'll give you another shot.
A cloud full of hail, then.
No, I can't. That's so close, Todd. I wish I could give it to you. Caller two, what's your name?
Eric,
what's your guess?
I am guessing an iceberg.
No, you know what? Our producer said the same thing.
Yeah, we're all on the same track here.
That's a great guess, but that's not the case. Oh boy, the other two callers hung up. So, was Todd our first?
You said Titanic, or you said it was the weight, and I said Titanic. You said it floated. I'm like, the Titanic didn't float. Did you two miss that?
Well, it floated for a little bit.
It floated for
a while. It had a couple days there.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it floated for a while.
It's notable for floating until it didn't.
Well, thanks. Boy. Okay. All right. So once again, on average, I weigh about 1 million pounds, which is about the weight of 100 elephants. And despite my immense weight, I remain afloat. What am I? Caller on line one. What's your name, please?
Haley.
Haley?
With a K.
Kaylee, what's your guess?
Rain cloud?
Yes. It's actually a cumulus cloud. I wanted to give it to Todd when he said thunderstorm cloud, but thunderstorm clouds are much, much heavier. So just your average cumulus cloud weighs about 1 million pounds. So you're fair weather cumulus clouds. And the reason they remain afloat is because they're less dense than the surrounding dry air, kind of similar to how a boat floats on water. It's less dense than the surrounding water. So Kaylee, congratulations. And where are you calling from, Kaylee?
Fargo.
All right. Well, we're going to put you on hold. Our wonderful, talented ag director, Addison, he's going to get your information, and then we'll let you know how to pick up your rain gauge.
All right. Thank you
awesome.
So much.
You bet. Thank you. Good guess. All right. So, yeah, just your average cumulus cloud.
Point of clarification, I'm the ag director. Addison is the great and wonderful sound engineer.
Did I call him the ag director? Oh, man.
But if you're going to talk about something that weighed many tons, you know, as tons as of elephants, I'm like, did you just get a hold of my last physical card for my commercial license?
What? Yeah, right.
What'd you do there?
Oh, man. So, Kaylee, congratulations. And I wanted to give that to, I believe it was Todd that called first, but technically it's not a thunderstorm cloud. That would be much, much heavier. It would be just your fair weather cumulus clouds you see out there. 1,000,000 pounds. Amazing.
Well, I'm glad we cleared all that up. Happy wins Thursday, according to Dean, because he's having a little trouble with politics.
Yeah, right.
But we will not be confused when it comes to our guest today. We're going to be joined by Ben Munson. He is with Farm QA, and we have multiple questions for Ben. Looking forward to visiting with him after we get a livestock update from the American Ag Network. Thank you to our sponsors who are a part of Here We Grow 2025, where we successfully brought a field of commercial seed wheat to fruition. That field has been harvested, and we announced Mike Warden, who has been named our winner for our yield contest. And we were producing 51 bushels, and we had protein of 14.4. Those sponsors would include Codico Fuels and Propane. They keep you powered, not only the fuel in your equipment, also bulk oils, and other hydraulics. And then let's not forget the propane, which we may or may not need this year, depending on what our corn crop looks like and dryer systems. And then secondly, Ellingson Company. We appreciate all the work that Ellingson does, not only when it comes to doing underground work, but also the tiling that happens, and especially the work they do when it comes to conservation and making that smart choices legislatively for the region. They've been really good at standing up for farmers' rights in that region. We are joined today by someone else who works very diligently on behalf of farmers, and that would indeed be Ben Munson. He is with Farm QA. Hey, Ben, how are you today?
I am absolutely fantastic. Thanks for having me.
So, first things first, Farm QA. We've talked about it before. Nick Breckmeyer joined me one day to talk about what's Farm QA, but could you refresh the memories of those who might not be so sure?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so I'm with Farm QA. We are a software company based out of Fargo, North Dakota. We started 10 years ago, 2015, and with that, I was employee number one, and we set out with a vision of building an agronomy platform, and that's what we've done over the last 10 years. And so we've got a mobile app, we've got a website, functionality serves both agronomists and growers around crop scouting, sampling, crop planning, imagery, et cetera. So that's who we are. We've got a team of about 15 people at the moment.
So when it comes to what happens for our crop consultants, et cetera, can you give a little bit more detail? All right, so from the perspective of someone who works with a lot of crop consultants, how does this benefit what they do in the field every single day?
Yeah, I like to describe it from like a growing season perspective. So I think of it as an agronomist would jump on our platform in, let's say, October, November, when they're thinking about crop planning or helping their growers crop plan. So we have functionality that lets them set up a future season, let's say 2026, 2027. As part of that, they can lay out what fields are we going to plant into what crops. They can make varietal decisions. And along with that, walking through chem, seed, fert totals for each field. And at the end of that, we'll kick out product totals, seed totals, number of units of seed, and then also be able to generate both a digital representation of that and a pretty PDF that the grower can see. And then from there, you make pre-buys. You fast forward into, say, scouting season of maybe May. We've got our mobile app where they can be in the field, see their location, see their field boundaries, get turn-by-turn directions if you're, say, an intern at a NDSU scouting. You could take pictures. You could write a treatment recommendation real time. You can pull up your crop plans and take action and see what's done, what's left to be done. And then we'll fast forward again and say into fall, we allow them to sample. So you could do things like view your, well, first of all, create zones, drop pins, create grids, collect samples, bring results through, and then once results are in, turn around, write fertility recommendations. And so it's kind of a full life cycle of an agronomist, if you will, and us trying to kind of touch every facet of that process.
And that's very shareable, because like you said, if you're the scout working for a consultant, you want to be able to share all that information, what you saw, where you've been, and then even for the soil sampling, like you said, with grid sampling, et cetera, you need to be able to tell who's been in what part of the field if you're doing it with multiple people. So really, for you, you're probably more of an information sharing app than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, data repository is in the sense that it's cloud-based, stored year over year. You can query it, you know, look at comparisons. But absolutely sharing. Like, it's a big part of, you think of a consultant, they're getting paid by a grower to service their fields. You very clearly have to relay that information in a professional way to that grower to say, kind of showing your work in math class, if you will. Here's what I did, clean pictures, clean reports. So that's definitely a big strength of ours. And also being able to kind of customize the layout for the reports that ultimately land on the shop bench of a grower, if you will.
Hmm. You said show your homework. Dude, I wasn't even good at doing the homework, so you're killing me here on how to get this done better.
There you go. I like that.
All right. So, Ben, when you think about the things that you are doing today, what are some of the new announcements? Because if I'm not mistaken, you've just done some add-ons for Farm QA.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we're constantly building, so it's an exciting time. Like I say, my personal history here has been with the company ground up, and we're at an exciting stage where we've got a pretty solid customer base throughout North America and international business as well. But with that, we're on a growth curve, and so that's allowed us to invest some money into new features, and we've kind of beefed up, if you will, the fertility side. So with that, we talked about we've supported the ability to collect samples, georeference where you've collected them, generate reports. But on the fertility recommendation side, being able to help the agronomist a bit more, doing more of the math. So like you're saying, Bridget, if you don't want to share your work, we'll do the work for you at Farm QA. So we'll do the heavy lifting of crunching the numbers as far as AgVice tells you the PPMs of all your nutrients. You could then run that across an equation or a script that's from your own secret sauce of how you want to manage fertility. And so with that, we'll help you generate variable rate prescriptions or flat rate. But in a batch format, and then being able to tweak those at a field level. So with that being said, as you've got, I'll go ahead. Do you have a question there?
Well, I kind of do, and I'm not sure that this is actually one that you can help answer, but I'm going to try, Ben. And that is, with pricing going on in fertility right now that's been so cyclical, right? We've hit some pretty big highs as of late, and you're giving the ideas of what can be done for prescriptions, but it doesn't mean that that's exactly what you have to do. As the end user, as the farmer, I can still change my prescription as needed to fit my price points and whatever changes I might make to my crop, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, that is a really great point, because one of the enhancements that we made is this concept of scenario reporting. So let's say you run a set of, say, even flat rate or variable rate prescriptions across a dozen fields. At the end of that, you could spit out and say, oh, this is going to cost you $100,000 if you apply it at a full rate. If we cut back, you know, fertilizer is expensive, we're going to take everything, but multiply it at an 80% rate. So we're cutting back 20%. Well, with that, now you're only paying $80,000, but agronomically, you know, we think this might impact yield this much. And so with that, on the Farm QA software side, we allow you to account for your fertilizer prices, and you could tweak that per client that you work with. And then you can run scenarios. So it's kind of that full rate versus 80% rate, and being able to sit down with a client or the grower at that point and say, on the left, here's the 80% rate. On the right, here's the 100% rate. What are your thoughts? And so you can pitch it that way of saying, here's what the numbers look like, and then speak to it agronomically as well.
I really like the fact that you're still doing my homework for me, Ben. Where were you when I was in college? But nonetheless, we'll talk a little bit more about Farm QA and some of the benefits of being able to use that software, not only for farmers, but for our crop consultants as well, when we return after bottom of the hour news. We'll be back. So glad you're joining us today on Weather and Ag in Focus. And a reminder, the Aronia Berry Festival is happening this Sunday, September 7th. It'll be 11 to 4 at the Nelson Aronia Farm at Aminia here in Dakota. They want to make sure you know that for this 6th annual berry harvest, it will be a family-friendly celebration. There will be a celebration of nature's superfood, one that brings a day full of food, fun, and community, and there will be an awful lot of vendors there, as well as Aronia harvesting in action, live music, food trucks, baked goods, crafts, a petting zoo, and a bouncy house. Well, I don't think we can go wrong. So if you're interested, again, check their Facebook page to attend, and that is the Aronia Berry Festival at the Aronia Berry Nelson Farm at Aminia, North Dakota. All right, when Dean returns, I have a couple of weather-related questions that have come from listeners, so we'll dive into those as well. But meanwhile, my guest right now is Ben Munson, and Ben is with Farm QA. And so Farm QA, as we talked about, is a software platform that's phenomenal for crop consultants as well as for farmers to be able to do some of their on-field reporting. And all right, Ben, when changes need to be made, one of the things I hear from crop consultants is Farm QA is really easy to work with. And how has that benefited the way your product performs for those consultants and in the field?
Yeah, I think a big part of that is the flexibility on the mobile app. So if you think yourself mm-hmm. as a crop consultant, the amount of time you spend in front of a computer or a laptop is pretty limited. And so if you're out in the field, and let's say spring's a good scenario of saying, we did a crop plan for a client. He told me that Munson home core was going to be corn, and now I show up to the field, I'm going to scout, and it's soybeans. I don't want to have to go back to my computer or make a note to go do that later on. So directly from the mobile app, you can edit the boundary, the shape of the field, you could change the crop assignment, you could add a variety assignment all from in your pocket. You pull out your iPhone, your Android, your iPad, and make that change. And so I think that's been a lot of the positive feedback we have with being just more of a modern cloud-based platform is just the flexibility to do a lot on mobile on the fly. That's a big part of it, I would say.
And Ben, you've been around for, you said 10 years, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep, 2015.
Okay. Now, you guys have come a long way since you started, like you said. Where do you see yourself? What's your goal in 10 years from now?
Yeah, great question. So I would say, you know, we've done a lot of work to support the consultant, the agronomist. And so with that, we see a lot of our customers being independent agronomists at the farm level. I would see us, it's our vision here, is supporting the growers a bit more. So functionality that would get them in the platform. And today they can do things like inputting plant dates, inputting, say, varieties, harvest dates, harvest amounts. But we want to start to pull more data from John Deere, sync it into Farm QA or Climate Field View. And then with that, our vision is more of this two-way walkie-talkie, if you will, between the grower and the agronomist. And so right now it's a lot of data getting pushed from the agronomist down to the grower and visibility there. We'd love to kind of unlock that channel and have the grower being able to opt in or share certain layers data with the agronomist to help them make more informed decisions.
Anytime we can make more informed decisions, I think, is just a huge part of what you do every single day. And in the economic times in which we face right now, we have got to dial in so much more closely on any of our inputs, any of our decisions, whether it's that, again, that soil sampling versus on the grids versus any other methods, et cetera. We have to know specifically how to variable rate our fertilizer, our planting, our everything that we're doing in the field to make the most we can on some tight profit margins. So, Ben, I hope I'm setting you up right, and that's the fact that you do that every day.
Right. That's exactly right. And the other thing I would say, too, would be, you know, looking at historic years, you could say, well, what went well last year? What went well 2 years ago? And so that every year you're also improving. And I think a lot of it is, it might sound daunting to say, use the software platform, enter my yields, put it all into one common repository. But without that, I think there's a lot of people out there that have a filing cabinet full of dusty manila envelopes with some records, printed forms. But with that, it's not at your fingertips to look back at what went well, what didn't go well. And, you know, they talk about a farmer, a grower only has so many seasons to try different things. And so having a tool like this where the data is at your fingertips, you can query it, you can think through what changes you want to make in a crop plan, factor in your finances, maybe try a variable rate for the first time and see if it pencils out. Like, those are all the types of things that we, first of all, help you make the decision of would it make sense, should we do it? We enable those people functionality-wise to be able to actually do those things, execute on those things. And then at season end, look back as kind of a retrospect and say, did that change that we make work? Was it effective? Should we keep doing it going forward?
I think right now, just what you're saying, the help that we can do, should we make this decision to do what can stay consistent and do what we've been doing or make a change as we go forward? And you can do that again with FarmQA. They have the Advanced Prescriptions Formula Builder, and there's also a variable rate map, which makes great sense. Ben, one question that I have is, what do farmers like the most about the reports that you're able to kick out through your software?
Yeah, I guess I would say, like I said before, readability. It is customizable. I think maybe you alluded to that earlier of saying maybe Farmer Jim wants it to look different than I do as far as maybe layout style, that sort of thing. So I would say that. You get a report, and I can easily digest the information within it. Let's say you're a large operation. You've got a lot of fields. You want a quick view of what are my action items. And so we can bubble that to the top and have clear call-outs of what actions say an agronomist wants you to do, for example. So that's a big win, along with having the digital access if you want to jump in and make some changes.
Well, I think those are some pretty big ones. So, Ben, really appreciate the opportunity for you to visit with us today. And again, where can folks find you, follow along, call you guys to ask more questions when it comes to what's going on at FarmQA?
Yeah, great question. So I always push people to our website. So it's farmqa.com, FARMQA.com. And with that, like on the top right, there's the ability to start a free trial. So if you want to dip your toes in the water, that's a great way to do that. But there's also contact information there. And then I did hear reference to the Big Iron commercial. So we will be at Big Iron with a big presence too. So if you happen to be there, we'd love to meet in person and showcase what we can do for you.
Also, I must say, I love the fact that you guys also come to Agronomy on Ice. Please tell Nick he makes the best donuts on the ice of anybody during that day. And it's a wonderful spot to answer questions and just to be a part of what's happening that day. So I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We love being at Agronomy Ice, and yeah, we love being the donut people, although it might mean I eat one too many donuts that day, but it's all worth it.
Fascinatingly enough, donuts go with everything at Agronomy on Ice.
That's right. Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having us. This is we're excited to where we're headed in the future, and we'd love to contact or talk to anybody who's listening.
All right. Thank you so much, Ben. We appreciate it. Dean, you had mentioned that you had a couple of email things that you wanted to make sure to talk about. Do you want to dive into those?
Yeah, I'm going to wait because we just had the EAS system go off here, Bridget. So I think the only signal we're getting is it Addison? Help me out. Is it just...
We're still going over our streams.
But not on air. Not on air. Okay, so I'll wait for a little bit because a couple of our emails, I'm sure, I think they're probably listening via the signal. So...
It just
went off.
So the emergency is over.
Whatever it was, yeah, the EAS system just went off. It just, it's clear now. So, I've gotten quite a few emails, one from Steven, one from Chris. Steve, wrote to me, about what are the possibilities outside of the FM area about a frost or freeze for tomorrow morning? I said very small. I guess there's another, I'm not going to call out anything, but there's another entity, claiming that there's a decent chance for a hard freeze tomorrow morning in northwest Minnesota. I don't see it. I think we will clear out, and winds are going to be light. Those are perfect ingredients for a good freeze. But I think temperatures are going to, the way they look right now, should stay anywhere between that 36 and 38 degree range, which is really above the frost potential. Could there be some light frost in northwest Minnesota, northern Minnesota, in the very low-lying areas? There could be some patchy light frost, but I am not worried at all about a freeze. Next email from Chris wanted to know, according to the LRC, when does it look like we will have our first killing freeze? And according to the LRC, and we're talking widespread, like, you know, we're done. The growing season is done. It looked like about somewhere between the 10th and 15th of October. That's about when we're expecting, according to the LRC, our first really widespread hard freeze. So we got a ways to go, and I'm just not anybody concerned outside of the FM area and the outlying areas, northwest Minnesota, about a hard freeze tonight. I'm not seeing it. Some of the lower lying areas could get down to about 36, but that's about as cold as what any of our models are predicting. So that's good news if you're wanting that growing season to continue here for a little while longer anyway.
Well, that's kind of what we're shooting for, because I'm looking around me and I still got a lot of green soybeans, but they're going to be turning. Won't be long now.
Soon,
fall is certainly starting to come along, and they very much are sensitive to their day length time. So, one other little item that has hit, I shouldn't even call it a little item, but an item that has hit the news as of late is, within about the last 10 days, there was a report of 6 deaths in Colorado at a dairy operation. So let's talk about that just a little bit. First of all, accidents happen no matter the size of your operation, whether they're large or small. And when I first read that headline, my initial reaction was it was likely methane gas. As someone who has been around dairies, of course, grew up in a small operation myself, that was something that we were always very cognizant of when it came to our manure pit or the manure pump that pumped out to the pit. And you can also have methane build up in places like silos, depending on, you know, silage, et cetera. Methane is a gas that's always around. At dairy operations, it doesn't cover entire barns or large areas. It's usually in a small, confined space. Often what happens if you have someone or two people working on equipment and they are overcome by the methane gas and can't get out, and then the next person goes in to rescue them and is overcome, and the next goes in, and you can see that domino effect that happens. Area fire departments are often well-trained in how to deal with that. Of course, they also have respirator units, et cetera, or oxygen units, so that they can safely extract the folks who may be in jeopardy at that point. But it's unfortunate. It still happens. Doesn't matter the size of the operation. We are saddened to see the loss of anybody that works in agriculture, and especially through a situation like this where there are accidents. We hope that protocols are followed and certainly improved in the future so we don't see that again. But that's likely the scenario. I have not called to ask more information, et cetera, but just wanted to talk about the safety factors that we have to keep in mind when it comes to any large-scale animal or agricultural operation. And we certainly want to make sure to recap our weather, as well as finish up with a couple of headlines as we near the top of the hour, but we'll do that after this.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. 1:53 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside 57 degrees. Partly cloudy skies, partly to mostly cloudy. And winds out of the northwest at about 20 miles an hour now. We're going to see the clouds clear out as we head towards the overnight hours. That will allow temperatures to drop off into the 30s. Most areas remaining in the upper 30s overnight tonight. Now, in northwest Minnesota, let's say Thief River up towards Roseau, some of those areas could drop down to about 36, but I'm just not seeing any potential for any widespread frost across the area. Again, some of the lower lying areas could briefly dip down close to that frost potential, but I'm not really worried about it too much. So growing season should be able to continue for all the gardeners and everybody else. And then we're going to continue with the blustery weather all the way through the end of the week. We'll start off with sunshine tomorrow, but see clouds rapidly increase. And then another clipper system will bring us a little bit of light rain as we head into tomorrow afternoon. It looks like any heavier amounts, quarter inch or higher, will be in the northern valley into northwest Minnesota The rest of us, tenth to maybe 0.2 inch. And then behind that clipper system, very windy conditions on Friday. In fact, I'm sure wind advisories will be issued across parts of the state for tomorrow out west and then possibly Friday in the east. And then as we head into the weekend, some chilly weather. We'll probably have another pretty chilly start to the morning on Saturday. Both Saturday and Sunday mornings, we could be in the upper 30s. And then we'll start to warm things up. The Sunday looks pretty decent. Saturday's still a little chilly, but Sunday, the pick day of the weekend. And then next week, 70s, and then the return, it looks like by Thursday and Friday of next week, we could be back into the low 80s across the area. So don't let this brief shot of chilly weather fool you. We're still not looking at our first killing freeze yet. And again, we're not seeing anything widespread until sometime after that first week in October, probably towards the middle of October, where our best chance of getting a widespread killing freeze will kind of blanket the area. And again, our new LRC cycle, it's not far off. It's a little over a month away. We'll start that brand new LRC cycle and kind of map out that month of October into November, see how many storms we get during that first cycle, and then we can extrapolate that out for the rest of the winter to see kind of what this upcoming winter will look like. We're getting some indications it could be a little colder than normal. That's not a guarantee, but we're getting some indications of that now. But precip-wise, right now, it's a coin toss. So, again, we'll have to wait until we set up that first cycle of the LRC in October or November to be able to map out the rest of the winter. So stay tuned.
Well, as a child, Grandma would have told me to put on a jacket. It's just the first fall. So it'll warm up again. We'll be fine. Don't forget those jackets on your way outside.
That's
every day.
Right.
Ingredient makers have found that there could be a new protein out there that you've never even heard of. Rubisco. All right, so my high school science teacher is going to be super proud of this. Rubulose, biphosphate, carbolax, oxygenase. This is a crucial enzyme used in photosynthesis, and more than 90% of the inorganic carbon that's converted into biomass is fixed by this enzyme. It's also considered the most abundant protein on Earth, as well as one critical because it's so essential for photosynthesis and the food chain. There are ingredient makers out there who think that Rubisco might be the holy grail of plant-based proteins, and they're extracting it from crops that include alfalfa and duckweed. Now, I've never met a duckweed farmer. Last I checked, if it has the word weed in it, I'm not sure that I wanted it to start with. But they are developing alternative proteins. They're focusing on this meat replacement sector. So while Rubisco protein can serve that function, most ingredient makers are really excited about its other properties. And Rubisco can emulsify, it can foam, it can mix, and it's very highly desirable in the food manufacturing industry. Again, something we don't even talk about on a regular basis. Traditionally, we see legumes like soybeans and peas most popular as plant protein sources, but these commercial-based proteins are usually considered nutritionally inferior to the animal counterparts due to the lack of essential amino acids, presence of allergens, non-nutrients, and off flavors. So this Rubisco is actually considered a complete protein. It has 9 amino acids. It has the functional properties that are similar to the animal-derived protein. So despite its qualities, it's not readily available yet because, well, first of all, I have yet to find out who has duck weed, but if any of you do, feel free to send me a message. I can't hardly wait to see what it looks like. But there are some startups that are taking on that challenge. They're calling it plantable foods, and they want to get close to launching some products very soon.
Good deal. Good deal. Wolf or Bridget, myself, want to thank everybody for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.